Good morning. Excuse me. Our first scripture today is from Exodus 20. And you'll notice that in your bulletins, we've had a change in our scripture readings. Verses 1 to 3. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Our second reading. It's from Matthew 6, 5 to 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Excuse me. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thou your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And third reading is from James 1, 2 to 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. May the Lord add his blessing to the hearing and reading of his word this day.
Well, Moa had entitled this sermon that he was going to preach, a sermon called Prayer for the New Year. And I want to continue on the theme of prayer for the new year, but I also want to add this subtitle to that. Pray for deep faith. I read just recently of the top five, according to one survey, the top five New Year's resolutions. There's all kinds of lists on the internet. I found one that had the 50 top requests. I found one that had five. This one is the one I picked, the top five. The first one is, enjoy life to the fullest. But then the question came into my mind, how do you do that? The second one was, live a healthy lifestyle. The third one, lose weight. The fourth one, spend more time with family and friends. And the fifth one, save more, spend less. Now, I don't know exactly if the first one, which enjoy life to the fullest, will come about if you do the rest of these things. Save more, spend less. Spend more time with family and friends, lose weight, live a healthy lifestyle, etc. But nowhere in any of the lists that I looked upon online did I find pray. Funny, I don't see that as a resolution among those that were listed. At Christmas, or as Christians, we know that prayer is important, don't we? We know that Jesus taught prayer us to pray. We know that all the apostles did, the Old Testament prophets. But what we pray for may be much more important than just praying more. What we pray for may be more important, maybe much more important than just praying more. I just finished reading a book. It's called In Search of Deep Faith. I highly recommend it. It's a book written by a theology professor who travels in Europe. And he goes to the places where some of the well-known Christians in church history have lived. Places in Germany, in Holland, in Italy. And what he does is he goes there to find out more about their lives and what happened to these people in their historical setting. And each chapter deals with one particular person that is well known. Some of the names you may be familiar with: Corrie Ten Boom, William Wilberforce. Those are just a couple of the people. Vincent van Gogh. Did you know he was a Christian? And each chapter deals with these people. And this man who wrote the book said he wanted to search for why their faith was so important to them and how their faith enabled them to do things that were extraordinary. And he found lessons in each one of their lives that they learned. And almost every one of these people that he visited, the places where he visited, he found that there was suffering in their life. Extreme suffering. Whether it was mental or emotional, physical. And he also found out that about their prayer life. What did they pray for? Fascinating book. I read it over the holidays and really has made an impression upon me. He was searching for deep faith. In other words, he was trying to find out what was it about their faith that was so deep. This book got me to look at what I pray for. My suspicion is that, like most of us, we pray for things like less pain, an easier life, maybe a more pleasurable life. But our greatest joy, according to what the scripture says, may come out of pain and suffering. The scripture that Roy read in the book of James, that's a tough one to understand. James says to count it all joy when you go through various trials. Is that how we respond to trials? Not always, do we? We kind of look at it as an interruption in our lives, don't we? The pain that nobody wanted. The frustration that sets in after a disappointment. But James says our greatest joy can come out of the trials that we face. Count it all joy. I suppose we probably pray more for things like more money, better health, more friends, and for some of us, saving more for retirement. To follow through on our daily exercise that we planned on doing last year but never got around to doing it this year. These are not bad things to pray for, don't get me wrong. But we may be missing the most important prayer. And that is, what is God doing in our lives to further His kingdom? Remember, the Lord's Prayer starts out with what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That seems to be more important of a prayer than just make things easy for me. God's will. In fact, James goes on to tell us in his book, he says, sometimes we don't receive what we pray for because we want to spend it on our pleasures. Anybody guilty? We want God to give us pleasurable lives instead of significant and meaningful lives for His kingdom. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer in a God-centered way, not a self-centered way. Notice the emphasis in that prayer is on praising God for who He is, worship first, and then praying for God's will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Notice, too, that throughout the New Testament, and even I would even say even through the Gospels, we see that prayer is the way that God makes us more like Himself. To be a disciple of Jesus means that we are to act like Him. And Jesus Himself said, if you do act like Me, don't be surprised if people don't like you. Jesus never told us to pray for more wealth, to be richer in things. I think we got plenty of things, don't we? We are to ask God for our daily needs, yes, but also we are to pray for difficult things. And one of the most difficult things, I think, for us to pray for is to forgive others who have harmed us. That's part of the prayer too, isn't it? And in order for us to pray to forgive others who have harmed us, we must realize that we have been forgiven, which is a humility thing for us. We don't like that either. So this prayer is hard. This prayer is hard. But what we pray for is probably much more important than how much we pray. Jesus said, don't be like the pagans who pray prayers that are real long in front of other people, because they think they'll be heard for their more words that they use. To pray for comfort, pleasure, more wealth, health, these do not make us more spiritual. James says that actually just praying a self-centered way can actually make us double-minded. He uses that word a couple of times in the book of James. He uses that word, double-minded. That is, we are in two minds. Now, stay with me here, okay? Have you ever heard the term sitting on the fence? You don't know which one you want to be in. You don't know if you want to be in this pasture or that pasture, right? And he says that's the way sometimes prayer can be for us. We want to be close to God, but we also don't want to be too close because we're afraid of what that might cost us. And so he says that if we're double-minded, if we're in two minds, we're not sure if we want God more than we want the pleasures that he gives us, then that can cause us to be asking in a wrong way in our prayer life. Maybe we don't pray for the right thing because we want what God we think God owes us rather than God himself. Did you know the gospel says that God himself is the good news? I had a friend out in, I think I've shared this with you before, I'm sure I have, a friend out in Illinois who had a good saying. I remember this a lot. He says, if I can quote it right, he says, whenever we realize that God is all we have, we also realize he is all we need. Good way to look at the new year, huh? God himself is the good news. The relationship we have with God. Not what he can do for us, but the way he's working in our lives to make us like his son, our Lord Jesus. This is what deep faith is all about. More prayer, maybe, but looking at what we pray for. To be double-minded is to be friends with the world. You know, the world's going to love you if you're selfish. Think about it. They'll love you if you're like them. But if we pray to be more like God and want his will in our lives, the world may not like us very much. They won't understand. But our lives will reflect who God really is. Some of the chapters in this book, one of them in particular dealt with Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know how many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom was, but she hid Jewish people in her house. Movie was made on it. The Hiding Place is a very well-known book. And that was one of the first books I read as a Christian, when I became a Christian. And after reading that book and seeing the movie and studying her life, just as the man who wrote this book did, she had a real hard time in her life when she had to go to a concentration camp in Germany called Ravensbrück, which was a concentration camp for women. Thousands of women died there. Almost 100,000 women died in this concentration camp within a few years. And she was so upset at being at this concentration camp, losing many of her family members. Her sister died while she was there at the concentration camp. The sister was in the concentration camp too. And she just could never understand why God allowed so much suffering, because she was seeing suffering every day, all around her. And her sister came to her one time and said, "Corrie, why are you so upset?" And she said, "Well, I can believe that God has us where he wants us, and I know that he's using us, but I just can't thank him for the fleas in this barracks." She said she never could understand why God would allow fleas to be all over the barracks where she lived. One day, Betsy, her sister, came to her and said, "God has answered our prayer. These fleas are from him." And she goes, "What?" She says, "The reason God sent the fleas is so that we could have Bible studies in here and wouldn't be bothered by the guards, because the guards won't even go in there." That's a deep faith, isn't it? to be thankful for things that we think there's no reason for them. James goes on to say in his book, God wants all of us to know that he has good purposes in mind for us, so that his goodness can be on display in our lives. James says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Come near to God and he will come near to you. I love that passage. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Submit yourselves to him. Look at your prayers. Are they coming from a purified heart or from a double-minded heart? He says, if they're from a double-minded heart, he said, we should grieve and let those idols go that we think are more important than God, because we're missing the best that God has for us when we're like that. Are you placing your careers, your desires of the world, your use of money above your desires for more of God? Then these are idols. What would happen if instead of prayers to be thinner, smarter, or richer, we prayed for God to change us from within? So that what we wanted is what he wants for us. Even if it means pain, suffering, in order to gain what he has for us, which is much better. Do we live in the deep security of the cross of Jesus so that we know we are loved deeply? Or do we place our security in the temporary fleeting pleasures of this life? I can tell you, as a chaplain who works with people who are dying and their families, that many of those who die cannot find comfort at the end of their life in their money or their wealth. For many of them, their health has been gone for a long time. They are desperately looking for hope beyond this life. Something that will give them a purpose and a meaning. Why? Because they realize that those things don't really matter at all at the end. What are you really trying to achieve in your prayers? Instead of praying for more money or better health, why not make your prayer, Lord, let me hunger for you. Let me want what you want more than anything else. Let me grieve and mourn and cry out to you to let me live with purpose and meaning and joy and confidence in your great love and mercy. But look out. God will answer that prayer. Look out. He'll answer that prayer in a way that you could never have imagined. For good. I got to tell you a story before I close. I'm not using names or anything like that, but I had a patient that was in such a shape at the end of her life that she could not speak, she could not motion with her hands or any part of her body. She was a total care patient. What that means is that she could not feed herself, she could not toilet herself, she could do nothing for herself except one thing. What do you think that was? Well, you're probably right, but she could listen. She could listen. And her family requested that I read scripture to her. whenever I went to see her. From the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from the Gospels. And even though I couldn't see any expression on her face most of the time, I knew she was listening. I knew it. That's what she wanted. She wanted the hope of God in her life. I just thought, this is an amazing woman to me, okay? That this is what she wanted. This is what she wanted. This was all she wanted. Other than being cared for, of course. But just think about it. At the end of our lives, what is really the most important thing? Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." What are those desires? For more of him. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart, which is himself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have these examples of people of faith. And they certainly were not perfect. And many of them struggled with the same things that we struggle with living in this world. And yet, through their difficulties and through their suffering and through their pain, you gave them something that was so powerful. And you want to do the same with us, no matter what struggles we're going through. And there are many here who have had many struggles. And yet, your goal and your purpose is to make us like your son, so that we can proclaim him and glorify him in this world that you have created. Lord, help us to know that it's not so much how much we pray, as much as what we pray for, that will make a big difference in our lives in this year of 2016. We thank you for your grace. And we pray that through the struggles of this year, we may learn joy. Learn not to panic whenever we hear bad news, whenever we hear that doctor's report that isn't so good, whenever we hear about financial issues that aren't so good. Lord, thank you that we can always come to you in the midst of our difficulties. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.